On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Normally, I'm the one who gets caught doing that.
Okay.
Welcome to Audio Whiplash 57.
57.
Rob over there, Matt over here.
Talking again over my...
Yeah, but I got mine out nice and clean.
No, I was still talking over yours.
You wish.
Yeah. Two fingers wrapped around it, talking over it. What are you doing?
Best of the season to everybody.
Full of goodwill and love and cheer.
And beer.
Yes. To your fellow man. I don't know, man. Just carry on.
Yeah, all right. We kind of thought maybe, is it just me or does it sound really echoey?
It's just you, man.
All right.
Yeah, and nasally, apparently, too.
All right.
But that is part of the season, right?
Yeah, for sure it is. That's been something I've been fucking around with for like 3 weeks now, probably for another month or two to go. Thought we might take a look back a little bit at the year that was, as it's been kind of a mixed bag. A lot of celebrity deaths.
Well, see, to me, that's when you first floated that idea, right, of a sort of a 2016 look back. Hey, now.
A lot of dead people.
A look back. Anytime you have a, hey. Yeah.
Before.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, before we jump too far in the year interview, I just saw this story today, and it seemed like something I wanted to float to you. Detroit, downtown Detroit, will be the first city in the world to have a combination IHOP, Applebee's. Are you jealous or disgusted by that idea?
Well, why is that? What is the benefit?
Well, I would. This is some sort
like
of
Applebee's is like
some
a,
sort of gastronomic experiment.
It's like a low rent Montana's, right?
Or yeah.
And then IHOP is just like a. It's the house of pancakes, right?
Yes. You don't want chicken wings on your pancakes.
Hmm. Well, see, and you know what? And I've traveled quite a bit through the States, and I say the States because it's like we don't have it here. But I've never had waffles and chicken. And I'm already confused by it. It seems like things that you would
chicken
not
and waffles. Get.
This is it. I don't know. Okay, what is that? What's the deal? Syrup and butter on the waffle, and yeah, to me, it's just
it's not all what you're looking for.
No, and so the
I don't know. I think there's some people out there that are going to be pretty pumped.
Okay, well...
Like, it remains to be seen, according to the article
I
read.
The very fact that you would float that to me means that you have a feeling one way or the other on it.
I've never been to an IHOP.
Okay. Well, think of your your Denny's. Sort of grand slam. Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
No, I get the premise, but okay. I've never been.
All right, but so, yeah. But you've been to an Applebee's, I'm almost positive.
Yeah. Mainly to drink.
Okay.
So there's one across the street from a dive hotel while I was on this baseball tour. And I don't remember if I ate, but we had some beers.
Could you get a steak as big as a toilet seat?
I don't remember if I tried. Okay. Is that how you have to order it?
I think so in most places in the States. Come on, sugar. I'll take you out for a steak the size of a toilet seat.
I'm kind of okay with that idea. Like
a steak the size of the toilet seat or the combo action?
Well.
See, to me, that doesn't speak of great quality.
No.
Any of
quantity
it.
Over quality, but I think that's always the case in the U.S. based on.
Yeah, can I sort of mainline some of that aerosol cheese or whatever that is that you got going on down there? Gross. Yuck.
Get some of that in your stocking.
This is it. Right in your stocking. And then penicillin. That'll cure that in no time.
Oh, no.
I got it stuffed. I got my stocking stuffed with aerosol cheese. I got no real opinion on that either.
No,
way.
Okay. Clearly you're not jealous, though, that there's not an IHOP/Applebee's opening up across the street from your place.
Swing me by a Big Boy's, and then we can talk about
okay.
it.
Okay.
None of it really interests me at all.
Let's start quickly, and let's not spend a ton of time on the most obvious story, because I don't think you've been on this show since it happened. Is there anything you would like to add to the Donald Trump?
Flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Although that's not new, and that's not adding anything. And again, going back a year and a half ago when they first fired this up in the summer of 2015.
Well, and he was coming up the escalator to rocking in the free world or whatever it was.
Yeah, honestly, cheesy and lame. Yeah. And it just got worse
right
from there. And you thought, it can't get any worse. This will never happen. And then, ba-bam, there it did. And actually, as the results started coming through, and I'm not sure if I have been on, but to me, I'm now just intrigued.
Are you not a little terrified?
Nope. It's like the world's already fucked up.
For sure it is.
So 4 years of Donald Trump, what are you going to do?
I think it's going to be 8, but
woo, that's awesome. And really, what a reality show that is.
Like, to me, what this whole thing said was a lot of people sat around and laughed at it and made fun of it, and then a couple dozen million people, white guys mainly, walked into a voting booth, looked over their shoulder, made sure no one was looking, pulled the curtain, and went, "Yeah, I'm voting Trump."
Yeah, well, and I think there is a great big. It was a bit more than a bit. It was a fuck you to the system
for sure. Very much like the whole Brexit situation, right?
Well, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. If we can just send enough votes to scare some people,
yeah.
Oh,
it happened.
I pushed that fart just a little too hard.
Well, we've all been there.
You know, this is it, right? And you go, oh.
I feel shame.
And there it is. Okay, now there's no discreet way of getting rid of that.
Right. No, it's man,
brisk,
to me.
A brisk walk and a leg shake.
No, this will be fascinating. I'll certainly grant that. But I don't know.
As he's starting to make appointments and all these sorts of things.
When he's just up and phoning Taiwan, right? And people go, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal, right? Like, that's the first time an American president's acknowledged Taiwan's existence for, I mean, not their existence, but the one China policy, right? Like, little things like that. We just say, fuck you. Do whatever I want. And all of a sudden, a country of, a billion and a half people is going, not happy. Not forget how many people live there. How about how much of your economy they own?
Man,
it's going to be interesting.
And so to me, that is, and we can't do anything about it.
Right.
We're here. We're just living it. So
do you wish you lived a little further away?
No, there's nothing we can do. I don't think you get far enough away to. That shit's going to splash on everybody.
The best tweet that I saw on it was somebody, an American, had said, "What do you care? You're just Canada. Your opinion doesn't matter." And the guy quoted his tweet and goes, "I would be very concerned if my neighbor, even on my street, came home with a bottle of whiskey and a medieval cannon about what's about to happen to my home." right?
Like, yeah.
This is going to be dangerous, right? Like, I have an opinion here. I am going to be affected.
Careening about with a blunderbuss. Yeah, no, to me, so you're right. We don't have to spend too much time
no,
on that.
That's right.
But it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And to me, that's obviously the biggest story, you know, well, for sure. No matter where you live, that's a huge story.
Huge, that's a huge bitch.
That's a huge bitch of a story. Yeah, true. True, true. Okay, so short of that, what jumps out at you? Because honestly, to me, what a mixed bag of shit.
Yeah, I think at our sports show we'll talk about the Olympics, but obviously that was a huge story for any number of reasons, economically and politically.
Yeah, the non-sporting side. I mean, yeah, the non-sporting side of the Olympics and the Paralympics,
and even
all that
where
sort
it's
of stuff.
Left them now in the aftermath, and
which I haven't heard too much. Really, I haven't paid too much attention.
It's not good. They're broke, right?
Yeah, well, they were wicked broke running up to it, and you're going, well. It's like when you're having guests show up and you throw all your shit in a closet and under beds and stuff, and you go, "Oh, I'll deal with that later." I just got to get through. I got to get through the hosting this event,
analogy,
right? And then you go, whatever. Yeah. But every Olympics has been like that. Now they're worse because I think they started on the shakiest platform. Although you look at Athens, they were in a
holy
wreck.
Fuck Athens.
And you look what happened just since then. Their whole country has fallen apart, and I think Brazil is probably not in the same position that Athens was, Greece was even in.
Right. No, it's been interesting, and like you said, we'll maybe touch on that a little bit more on.
Right, but I think in a non-sporting way.
Yeah,
the story of those games and everything that went into that, the whole Zika virus and everything, and how much talk came of that, and it was reaching epidemic proportions and. And all those things. And did you hear one person come back from the games with
Zika?
Yeah.
No. Well, we both know some people who were down there.
For sure. Lots of people.
And, you know, I asked Amy Burke, who's been on this show a few times, she could see a mosquito the whole time we were there. So.
Right.
Now they were coming through and dust, like spraying every day and whatever, but no, not a single mosquito, let alone.
Well, and not only that. It's crazy.
Hard to some of these things we've covered more than others on the show, but again, for me, hard to look past the hip and what a story that became this year. In terms of obviously the news breaking in May that the lead singer Gord Downie had terminal brain cancer.
Well, so when was that concert? You went to the one here in Ottawa. When was that?
That was August.
August
18th.
Yeah, okay, right. I was going to say I haven't heard a thing, not a single thing.
Well, it has been quiet. Now, he's done a couple little things. The Secret Path is kind of this thing he's done.
The book?
A book, and there's some music that goes with it. And so he's done, I believe, 3 concerts solo on that music, one in Toronto, one in Ottawa, one in Halifax, I believe, at this point.
Really? When was that?
Late October, I believe.
Okay.
But it's been very quiet.
I was positive, and I hadn't looked into it, but yeah, I was sure that I would have heard something had he done something about that.
He's also stated in an interview that the band is writing new music. There might be another album. Well, yeah, okay. And we talked early on when the new album came out, which was Man Machine Poem. That came out in June, I believe. And at first blush, neither of us were
tired
huge
as
fans.
Fuck.
Yeah. On listening to it a few more times
like that.
Since then through the year, that album's kind of grown on me.
Well, anything does.
Sure.
Welcome to pop radio. If I fucking hammer you with this song 8 times a day, you're going to love it.
I don't think that's the case, but.
Okay, you hope it's not the case.
Right.
But sadly, in your mind right now, I can see it on your face
album,
that you're thinking, maybe that's
now
even true.
Now for Plan A, that didn't happen. That whole album was basically terrible, right?
Okay.
So I don't know if it was just the last couple albums haven't been very good. So when I went into this one, I wasn't expecting much or what. Maybe it was seeing it live and then going back and listening to it again.
Well, and looking at it through the nostalgic eyes of.
Right.
A retrospective a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that was a huge story that we discussed a bit on, well, more than a bit on this.
Hey, and tell me how far and thing something I'm not sure we touched on this. I don't remember doing this in an AW, but the Fort McMurray fires.
It's true. It was one of the, again, early summer, May, June.
Yeah, late May.
Yeah. Thousands of people displaced. And again, it's kind of that news cycle that we live in, right, where it's over now, we're done talking about it. The city is not back up and running. Like, there's some people who managed to get home, but there's still people that are reeling from this, the entire town, right?
Well, so, and you forget about what a big story and how massive that fire was, right? And the number of people and what that did to the economy in northern Alberta and the oil industry that was already reeling from low oil prices at the time.
Yeah, for sure.
And all those sorts of things, right? And so you go, but you're right, in the news cycle, that's 6 months ago.
Yep.
You're like, whoop, that's forever ago.
When was the last
ago.
Time you heard anything about that, right?
That like, was like the shuttle blowing up. Oh, wait, that was 15 years ago. Well, that was 30 years ago. Right, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And you sort of go, it just sort of becomes in the mist of the past, right? You sort of go, but I forgot about that. And then that was as I was sort of cycling through, you go, wow.
Absolutely, one of the biggest stories of the year.
How's your attention span? Non-existent.
Well, and I think...
Do you see the shiny thing over there?
That dog has a poofy tail. Yeah, that's exactly.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. No, for sure. One of the... An entire Canadian town, at least temporarily, wiped off the map, right? Like, that doesn't happen every day. And all of a sudden, it's just one of those things that you go...
Well, and huge amounts of, you know, resources were raised countrywide, and it's one of those things, you know, and it's sort of that flavor du jour, and certainly not for the people of northern Alberta, but for the rest of the country, right?
Right.
And you do what we all do. Everybody pitches in, you make donations, you...
Saw a great thing. There was a strip club in Edmonton. Anyone affected was getting free lap dances. Everybody pitches in, man.
It's community gross. Coming together. Man.
I don't know. You've had a rough day. You've lost your home. Go let some northern girl strip down to her pelt. And
oh, no. Oh, dear. I think there's something insensitive about that.
No doubt. That's true.
strip most down to her pelt. And you know what? She better be out of the pelt if I'm going to get a full-on lap dance.
And that, kids, is why you don't get your money's worth if you wear jeans to the strip club.
This is it. Track pants all the way, baby. Yuck.
This one was an interesting one, only in the weirdness that kind of came with it. Gawker going bankrupt, largely in part to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And some of the criticism and conversation that threw up in the air about, you know, freedom of the press and what is journalism. And to me, I'm someone who on this show has numerous times been kicking the media in the ass to do a better job and you know, really trumpeted that freedom of the press kind of thing. Gawker was not journalism.
Yeah, it's journalism like TMZ is.
Right. And I was pumped to see them go down. Now, there's no doubt there's some good people who got caught up in that and lost their jobs. But if you actually go back and do some reading on some of the stuff that they were willing to cover, and it was gossip more than anything else and being framed as news. And it's dog shit.
Well, that's what everybody, that's what the whole, well, the media is now being soaked in all that.
Right. And the two extremes of it, and let's leave Hulk Hogan out of it, and Hulk Hogan's penis versus Terry Bollea's penis, which are apparently not the same size. That's what he said.
Yep.
On the stand under oath, I have an image as a character to uphold. Hulk Hogan might have a 10-inch penis. Terry Bollea does not have a 10-inch penis. These are court documents. That
how big is Terry Bollea's penis then? Things I never thought I would ask, but there it is. If you're going to go on.
Yeah.
Is it five?
So
is it meant to be so small it drummed up
not a 28-inch python?
Sympathy and support?
Yeah.
It's 3.5.
At that time, he's the baby face. Yeah, he's just trying to.
And this is it.
So the two extremes that come to mind for me are in, I believe it was 2014, they wrote a piece long before Bill Cosby actually went through his whole court case and I believe was eventually found guilty, was he not?
I believe so.
So one of their writers went through a thing and said, I know no one wants to hear this and no one wants to believe this, but here is 14 different women saying what, and it's not okay to ignore all the... That was kind of on the good side of...
Gawker.
Right. And then less than a year later, they're... Fuck, this one gets a little messy. There is a vice president of a huge media conglomerate in New York who is trying to arrange an outing with a male film star, or adult film star, right? A male porn star. It falls apart. The male porn star comes to Gawker willing to give him his name and everything, and Gawker, on journalistic principle, says, well, he's trying to cheat on his family. We should report this. Clearly, all they helped this guy do was shake him down in a, you know, the guy was trying to blackmail him, which is exactly what all came out in the, and so you kind of get these two ends of what was really the
sensationalism,
or the journalistic, yeah, integrity though of reporting,
yeah, no,
just
no.
another,
well, you can wrap it up in whatever
way.
You want,
right? And so,
and even the Bill Cosby thing, like you said, something good may have come out of that, but really it's about
big name,
exposing things, sensational talk. That's what it is.
So, and that's been a big story this year as the internet continues to grow. There's been the last month or two talk about Google and Facebook promoting fake news, and there's a lot of, so to me, what's journalism and what isn't, what's real news and what isn't,
well,
what the internet.
And to me, just before we leave that, I hearken back to something we did cover on this show, and it sort of falls loosely in that, was Apple refusing to.
Yep. The iPhone, unlock an iPhone for the FBI.
That's right.
No, and that's a, you know, a little different, but not really. And your privacy versus national security, and
right. No, but just in terms of how that whole thing is used, and and where your rights and public safety, and
well, we did discuss the Montreal police tracking a journalist,
right,
using his phone. And man, these are going to become more and more pressing questions that, again, in a 24-hour news cycle, maybe in 2-3 days you've forgotten about. Some of this stuff is eroding away, and it's worth paying attention to, right? It's easy to sweep it under the rug.
It's eroding away in our short attention span.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening with that? I'm outraged.
But there'll be something else tomorrow.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
Jiggly boobs. And away you go, right? It's just...
Where?
Yeah, I know. It's exactly. Well, I'm looking at it.
Walked into that. What a dick.
What a dick. Hey, it's the Christmas season. But we're mere days.
The word I like to use is jolly.
Yes, we're mere days away from Festivus.
For the rest of us.
Yep. I got a lot of problems with you people. The airing of grievances.
I do think that's something that should be...
For sure it is.
Next Christmas, that'll be an entire Audio Whiplash episode. We'll have a bunch of people in here and air grievances.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Who else are we going to have?
Maybe a couple of parts.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Hard to, in a show like this, you know, cover an entire year, but anything else that you thought was, you know, real big time...
To me, I think the overriding, and you kind of brushed against it here a second ago, was and it's not a Canadian story so much as it is an American story, but the amount of the racial tension, right?
Yeah.
With what happened in Baton Rouge, with what happened in Minnesota, with what happened, you know, just in Dallas, which all these things, right? Coupled with, and I remember you and I sitting here.
One inside St. Louis, I believe.
St. Louis. With you and I having a couple early afternoon beers.
It doesn't sound like me.
Back in the summertime with that whole, with the shooting at the Pulse.
Right, yes.
The Pulse bar in Orlando.
Yep.
And just how shocking that is, right? And man, it gets lost again. But to me, that... With what was happening with police forces and again racial tensions.
Well, we in Paris this year. It wasn't the someone on
that was that early in 2016.
No, you're thinking of the shooting that was late 2015. But remember, on their national birthday or what, you know, the equivalent to Canada, someone driving a truck into a whole or a whole van. Remember, that was in like August,
well, honestly,
July,
somebody,
shooting
somebody just
again.
Did that in Germany here.
Yeah. You know, these things are becoming more and more, and I don't want to give too much credit or too much, but that's been a long-standing ISIS thing that you don't have to have a big, you know, backing. You don't have to have all kinds of military training. You can fuck shit up at home.
Soft targets are plentiful.
Right. And so we don't know yet how many of these things are tied to what organizations and what's just crazy lunatics and what. But it's been a fucked up year where you're starting to see more and more of this. And it used to be, and I used to absolutely subscribe to this theory that these things just got covered more now with the internet and 24-hour news. Man, we've had 24-hour news cycles and the internet for a while now. This really seems like
2016 was a hectic year for all sorts of things.
Right. In terms of deaths, Prince, Gordie Howe. Man, there's been a bunch of we just lost Jason Seaver. That's his character's name from Growing Pains. But I can't believe I just did a show
Alan
with
Thicke.
Alan Thicke. Man, it's been
who also not just was as an actor, he also wrote
a ton of music,
and he wrote the beginning of Facts of Life, Different Strokes, right? Just in terms of sort of
multi-talented.
Well, and clearly it was all crap, but
so talented, not the word you're wanting to go with there.
Well, no, because clearly he made a boatload of cash doing it. And
what do you wrote? What songs have you?
What did you wrote?
Yeah, okay.
I done gone and wrote nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. It's like I'm handcuffed over here and just punched.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. Yeah, okay, I got nothing. Right, nothing that gold anyways. But you also, I think, in deaths, in music, you said Prince, but you missed Bowie.
Yeah.
And then most recently, Leonard Cohen.
Yep, not long ago at all.
Right, Canadian icon. And people always think, you know, we got this... first we take Manhattan, then we take Berlin. You know, but just in terms of how much more he wrote for other people that than just what became popular with.
Right.
Right. Like, honestly, it wasn't until recent that the whole Hallelujah, you know, I didn't even know he wrote that. I didn't even know that was his song.
Right.
Right. I know it from Shrek. Right. But it's just.
But, obviously.
Yeah. But just in terms of what an artist he was.
Yeah.
Right, and so, a lot of deaths. That's a big three. Not to be, and don't forget about Fife Dog from A Tribe Called Quest. He also passed away this year.
I did, though. I forgot about Fife Dog.
All right,
and I will again.
Hey, and two thirds of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer also passed away this year.
Who's still around? Which one, Emerson,
Palmer.
Lake, or Palmer?
Well, you know what? I don't know that Palmer's still alive. I just know that the other two, Greg Lake and. Some of Emerson both passed away this year.
Palmerson could have been last year.
Palmer, what is I'm saying? I'm just, but to me, it's odd, right? And they're young. Like those guys are only in their late 50s, early 60s. Youngish.
Yeah.
Youngish.
Okay. Yeah, everything's relative.
Yeah. No, so to me, those are, in terms of deaths now, man, you go through it, there's a pile of musical deaths, but.
I think most of music this year has proven to be dead.
Right, there's some terrible music out there. But there's still some good music to be found.
Well, let's maybe wrap it up on this front, because I did take a look at Rolling Stone put out a, you know, everybody does this time of year, top 10 albums of the year kind of thing.
Top 10 albums of 2016, eh?
Did you find one album in 2016, a new album, not one that you're rediscovering or that's 20 years old that you're just learning? Was there something that came out in 2016 that you really loved?
Well, I would say two bands that I have sort of glommed onto this year. Now, they may be late 2015 issues. I'm not entirely sure, but I've taken both albums and sort of made them my own, and I love them all. I love them both. Kaleo.
Yeah, okay, yep.
And I came across them. No Good was a soundtrack to HBO Vinyl.
Right.
So that led me to their stuff, which I love them for their sort of, they have a couple tunes that are country sounding. They have a couple of tunes that sort of have a little more of that classic hard rock kind of a
yep.
of a sound, and it's really kind of an eclectic mix. I think they released the album in English and in Icelandic.
Wow.
Right? Which is, and one of the tunes made
Doesn't
it on.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah. Well, and so just in terms of, it's interesting. And the other one for me was, I believe they're from Ohio, and they're sort of a rock blues band, The Record Company.
Okay, I don't know The Record Company.
Honestly, I love their stuff. Very blues infused. And I came across them. They did a version of, and I sent it to you. They did a version, a cover of So What You Want, the Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah,
tune.
Yeah.
And so they released that with the passing of whatever. I can't remember which Beastie Boy passed away. But anyways, those two bands, to me, I would say both working off debut albums, right? And so both, I'm really happy, and I'll be able to follow those guys as they go up. Right, release their sophomore albums and stuff. But to me, those are two new to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe late 2015, early 2016 issues that I really love.
For me, I struggled to find new music this year, or at least entire albums that I liked. But Brian Fallon put out a solo album called Painkillers. Brian Fallon, most of you people who've been listening for a while know I'm a fan of the Gaslight Anthem. He was the lead singer, and they have taken a hiatus as a band. So Painkillers came out. Yeah, probably. Painkillers came out earlier this year. We touched briefly on the new Tragically Hip album, Man Machine Poem Tour was, of course, the tour.
Oh, I was going to say, and weird, right? We covered that already, but Man Machine Poem was a song off of the previous album?
Yeah, Now for Plan A, yeah.
That's stupid. Sorry,
it is weird, yeah.
Okay.
And the last one, a band that's been around for a while out of Hamilton that it seems on every album they put out, I like a song or two, but I struggle to listen to the whole album through this year. They put out the Arkells, put out
Private School Kids.
They put out an album called
I like that tune.
Yeah, they put out an album called Morning Report, and the whole album from start to finish is, maybe with one exception, pretty solid. So, kind of cool for me that, you know, it's another Canadian band and whatever. But Morning Report by the Arkells and Painkillers by Brian Fallon would be the two albums for me this year. But otherwise, man, another down year for music for me. I just, as a guy who just looking for rock, right?
Yeah.
It all sounds so electronic now, or like even the rock songs, they kind of have this electronic club sounding drum to them. It's just the way songs are even being mixed now, right? Like you see some of these bands live, they're pretty good, but their albums are.
And see, the older I get, and I gravitate more towards Black Keys,
right.
White Stripes, torn down, sort of underproduced kind of stuff, right? Which I go in for large parts of both White Stripes and Black Keys, two people.
Right.
Right? And it gives you that. Now, they tour with more, but they do sets with just the two of them, and I love that, right? I love that sort of underproduced sound, which is hand in hand with what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just a little less polish would be nice, right? Like, and you certainly go a lot further with it than I do.
That goes for most things.
The Black Keys and are almost, for people who, I'm not saying anything that people don't already know, are kind of this blend between blues and rock, right? Whereas I'm not so into the blues side.
And they're especially their older stuff.
Right.
It's almost just full blues.
Yes.
There is very little. It's just an updated version on.
Sure. And so that loses me a little bit, but I don't remember many singles that I haven't liked. Let's put it that way. I'm not a deep tracks guy.
Well, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Much more the opposite. I am the deep track guy.
Yeah.
Right? I don't really care if I hear Lonely Boy again or...
You know Gold what I mean? On the Ceiling.
Yeah. Well, I don't love Gold on the Ceiling, but yeah, Little Black Submarines. I love all that. Right?
Sure.
But yeah, some of the, especially their first three, four albums, that's the best.
Thick Freakness.
Yeah. Fourth album, I think. Yeah. But the big
cut. Speaking of opportunities lost in 2016.
Yeah, exactly. All kinds of places I could put that Thick Freakness if I had it.
On that self-deprecating note.
I'm always in for that.
That's the last Audio Whiplash
undersell,
of 2016.
Undersell, over-deliver.
You don't really have a choice but to undersell. Well, that's not true, I guess.
But. Yeah, see? I talk a mean game.
Okay. That's Audio Whiplash 57, and we'll see everybody in 2017.
Woo!
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.